seem to improve the implementation strategy.
Okay, we're just at 7:30. So I'm going to take the risk and call this meeting of the Environment and Land Use Committee to order. If the clerk would call the roll, please.
Anderson.
Here.
Dennett.
Here.
Ammons. Jones.
Here.
Langenheim.
Here.
Kurtz.
Here.
Mosier.
Here.
Schrader. Wysocki.
Here. We do have a quorum. Need a motion to approve the agenda for tonight?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Kurtz, seconded by Mr. Langenheim. I do want to point out that I believe you all did see an addendum, but I'm told that the petitioner has withdrawn the request, which had to do with some kind of a band. Is that the addendum for tonight? So there's no business for us to deal with. All those in favor of the agenda signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion carries. We have two sets of minutes to approve. These are October 13th of 2009 and October the 27th. Can we do this together?
Approve.
Motion by Mr. Dennett, seconded by Mr. Mosher. Any discussion of the minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Public participation. I assume nobody wants to speak. We have no correspondence to share. Since tomorrow is already December, there's really no need for us to determine a December meeting date, but I will repeat that we are scheduled for a 6:30 meeting on December the 17th, the same night as the board meeting. At this meeting, we will approve the number of entertainment and recreation licenses that we usually do at this time of the year. So we will have a short meeting at 6:30 on the 17th. Okay. We have a discussion item that has to do with the proposed Ameren-Bonneville to Southwest Campus transmission line project. Mr. Hall?
Yeah. Back on the... Can't remember the date. It was in October. I saw several of the committee members there at the open house at the Village of Savoy. Ameren has been talking with the university folks, and their current potential route alternatives have been revised due to some airport concerns. And there's another meeting coming up. It was supposed to have been in November, but they had not sent out notice. So. This is just an information item. This project is still out there, and I think it's going along well. And I'll just keep you updated as we get more information.
What changes are they planning? What changes are they making in their proposal, do you know?
If you look at the diagram, if you look around the Willard Airport.
Yeah, which one?
Page 30.
I'm sorry, page 30.
What page is it?
Page
30. 30? Okay. Yeah, you got those two or three around the south end.
Use your microphone, Mr. Lennon.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'll note that there's no longer a proposed path right on along the south edge of the airport, and nor is there a proposed path along 45 along the east edge of the airport. Those have been removed for consideration.
The innermost of those.
Mm-hmm.
But the one that's down on the very bottom going south, there's still a path, proposed path south of the airport.
Yeah, two in fact, two alternatives.
Oh, these are the ones, this reflects the change?
Yeah, this is what was at the open house. That was in the last open house.
Mr. Kurtz?
Yeah, I also attended the open house. They had made some changes. I had some concerns, and they did too, with low-flying airplanes coming in above the towers, which were about 135, 150 feet. They were checking with the FAA because they felt that there might be some problem with communications between the towers and planes when they passed through the area of this high power line. We haven't had anything back from them at this point, but I think that's something we should follow up on to make sure that there's no safety problems concerning the landing strips that run right across these power lines.
Any other comments? Okay. Next item is a resolution for the creation of a renewable energy fund to reduce energy expenditures by transitioning county facilities to renewable energy solutions.
I move adopt.
Motion made by Mr. Langheim, seconded by Ms. Anderson. Discussion. Mr. Smucker?
Speak to this. Earlier this year, we passed a energy efficiency policy, or energy policy for our buildings, and that policy included preference for the use of renewable energies in cases in which they would be cost efficient. And soon, around the time we passed that policy, we also received a report from the Smart Energy Design Center over at the University of Illinois. They did a review of our energy use at most of our facilities, and specifically at Brookins, looking at different possible renewable energy sources and the costs. And what they found was that in some scenarios, in some situations, we could have a good return on our investment over the long haul, over 20 years or so, for investing in renewable energy. And so essentially, those two things happened earlier this year. Obviously, the other thing we did this year was we passed a wind turbine ordinance allowing the construction of wind turbines here, and hopefully this is going to make Champaign County the center of a growing renewable energy industry. But one aspect of the power that will come from those turbines is that it's simply going to go out on the open electricity market, and it's not going to create more renewable energy here in the facilities or the homes here. And after talking with several people about this, I got this idea that, well, why don't we take some of the property taxes from the turbines, a very small amount from the turbines, and use that money to turn our facilities, move our facilities towards renewable energy. So I think this sort of kills two birds with one stone. On one hand, it's a way to try to address our fiscal problems over the long term, but it's also a way to reduce our carbon footprint and sort of get with the program of moving our towards energy independence, essentially. So that's why I put this resolution together, and I'm offering it to you. There is a page here that calculates how the fund would be funded, and I admit that it's somewhat complicated, but to cut to the chase, the easy way to understand it, this is that essentially we would take about $100 per turbine per year, it would be placed in this fund, and then this fund once the fund was established and it was starting to accumulate money, that was when the facilities committee could move forward on looking at different options in terms of how to move the different facilities towards renewable energy. And of course, we could talk about a whole bunch of different hypothetical ways of doing that, but I think that that's left for discussion down the road. What this resolution really does is it lays the foundation, it lays the groundwork for moving our facilities in that direction. And it essentially it funds what we've just been talking about here at the Land Resource Management Plan. It funds a couple of those, or begins to fund a couple of those action items. I hope that was clear, but I'm certainly, if there are questions about it that I can answer, I'd be more than willing to do that, or I'd just like to hear people's opinion about it. Thanks.
Mr. Jones?
Yeah, I think certainly using renewable energy has a lot of merit, but my main question with this is if the plans have merit and new systems in place, why wouldn't that just be part of our normal replacement process? When the time comes to replace the heating system or the roof or whatever, then if that's the best procedure, then we'll use that at the time. I don't know why we would need a separate fund for that. It would just be part of the normal process. But moreover, I think what concerns me is that everybody knows we've had a lot of difficulty with the general corp funds. Of course, this money would normally be used just to go into the general corp. We've had a lot of shortage in there. And I would hate to shortchange that for special uses. We don't even have this money in the windmills yet. But also, in the last several years, we haven't had funds for our long-range facilities plans. And Deb has kind of had to not put funds in everyone. And that's something that we really need money for. So why are we coming up with new uses for this money when we've got other things that should be spent on, I think, rather than already spending the money for it comes in. And a lot of times with these renewable energy ideas, if there was a way to secure federal grants for that, I think that might be more appealing to the federal dollars if we're going to do something that's out of the normal timeline of replacement rather than using these funds for that.
Mr. Kurtz and then Mr. Mosier.
I really like this resolution. I just think it's premature. I would really like to see those turbines up first. I'd like to see what our situation is a year and 2 years from now concerning revenues. Right now, we need every dollar going into the general fund that we can have. We can't afford to take a penny out. We need to try and fill that coffer up so that we have the operating expenses. And I would revisit this in a year or two when we have some turbines developing some revenue, and then perhaps we might have a little bit more leeway to be able to make something happen on a resolution like this.
Mr. Mosier?
I just agree with that. We've built all these buildings in the last 10 years. This one certainly requires a lot of maintenance, and you got a jail and a youth detention center and a courthouse that are going to have things happen. We've got no contingency, period, to fix a lot of things that pop up. And I don't know where we're going to get the money to fix them now, but shake general corporates in. I think we need to look at the whole thing rather than just saying the energy. Because when the roof goes bad, you got to fix it. When the furnace goes bad, you got to fix it. And we haven't got anything laid away when these things pop up and they're starting to happen. This building is special. I think we need to know. Long view, we ought to have a contingency fund for building maintenance and make this part of it. I don't want to single this one thing out and say we're going to set money aside for that when we may have to have it for something else. We had a generator go bad out here that had to be fixed, and it was a lot of money, and I don't know where you got the money to fix it, but those kind of things got to operate. And to me, it makes more sense to give facilities the money and let them allocate what they've got to allocate based on a study of all these buildings. And I think you're in the middle of reviewing that now, aren't you?
Mr. Langenheim.
My position on this is that the proposal has merit, it may be premature, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think that it's desirable that the full board consider this matter rather than settling it by stopping it in committee.
Ms. Anderson.
I'd like to thank Mr. Smith for putting this together. As to whether it's premature, when I look at the figures, we're not talking about generating funds until a couple of years down the road. And I see this as sort of thinking ahead. And when you read the legal news, there seems to be an emphasis on being green and conserving energy, and not only for ourselves, but for the world. I think some of these things require a little, maintenance is important, and I think we've got to keep that in mind and schedule, but sometimes by doing it the cheapest way, I think just taking the light bulbs as an example, if I could call them now, but we put them in a couple of years ago, and it did seem like they cost a lot more than a regular light bulb. In the long run, they save on your energy bills. And so some of these things that we might do with that might cut a cost and, provide a little more money for maintenance, too. I think it's something we really have to discuss and consider.
Mr. Smucker?
Yeah. I'll just respond to a couple of different comments I heard. Why a separate fund? That's a good question. I think that there's two good answers to that. One is grants are important if we're going to do renewable energy. There's lots of money out there for grants right now for renewable energy, and there will be in the next several years, I think. And having a renewable energy fund that it shows a level of commitment by the county towards moving towards renewable energy, and it's the kind of thing that will help us get those grants, even if the fund isn't well funded in a sense. I mean, we're not talking about a lot of money being set aside here into the fund, but I think having the fund is a way that you can use that to go to the granting agencies and say, we've got this commitment to it. We're setting aside money for this. This is a reason why we should be funded. We've thought about this. The other part of the question about the buildings, the chillers, the heating system. I mean, that stuff. You're right, and we're gonna, we're doing assessments of where the buildings are at and what they need to be replaced, and we're gonna be faced with a lot of costs with things like the downtown jail and other problems we're seeing. This is really something different, and I wouldn't. The point of having this fund is to separate it out, is to say we need to do long-term planning. We need to look at the energy use of the county for the next 10 or 20 years, versus we've got an emergency in the next year and we need to deal with it. It's an attempt to try to separate those two issues out. If the report from the Smart Energy Design Place is in the ballpark, what we can see is that all the money that we would invest into this renewable energy fund should come back to the county, to the general corporate fund, eventually. That over the long term, the figure that the Smart Energy Design Center talked about was a 13% return on investment. And so, again, if we want to talk, I think there are a lot of ways to solve fiscal issues, and this is one of them. And I just think showing, sending us in this direction with a small amount of money, what we're talking about here is, I think, 0.7% of all property taxes from the turbines. That this, to me, that's an appropriate amount of money that you're setting aside in order to ensure that in the long term you're going to reduce your costs, you're going to move to energy independence, you're going to get away from having to worry about the fluctuations in the price of energy. And for me, that all of those things make sense. I think this is a commitment to long-term planning. It's really something that that the county needs to do, which is that is take a longer-term look at it. In terms of it being premature, I don't think it's premature. I think it's important to set this up now, even though it won't even receive money for another year or so, year and a half, because it's the kind of thing where it's on the books. It's the kind of thing we can use in granting applications. I think it will benefit the county in an immediate way in that sense. So thanks a lot.
Mr. Dennis.
Two things. Have we had an application for a special use permit for a firm?
Not yet.
Pardon me, then? And the other thing is, I'm not sure this is the right committee for this PD yet. It seems like financial facility for this project.
Mr. Weibel?
Thank you. A couple of comments. Commentators tonight said that this talk about spending money. This resolution says not spend a single dime. Secondly, one thing I like about it is that it is long-term planning. I mean, what are we doing here at this time? We need to do more long-term planning. I think it's a good idea. It does allocate money towards a certain area that we're going to set in the future. That's fine then. As Mr. Moser says, there'll be other needs. There's no question about that. But at least we recognize we've got money for this in these certain areas. The first comes to worst, say if the roof falls over Mr. Moser's that part of the room, it needs to be fixed. There's no other money. The county board at that time can say, they're going to dissolve that fund and use that money to spend and fix that roof in that corner. Just what a lot of funds have now. Some funds can't do that, of course, but a lot of them do that. And so it really doesn't put much of a restriction on what the money can be used for in the big picture. But I think it's a good idea. At least we're thinking about long term, thinking about doing things to make this county ways more efficient. I think that's a good idea.
And I hope you won't go home.
Any other discussion? Mr.
Weibel? Clear question. Ms. Buse, does this have to go through finance anyway? Do I have to establish a fund?
No, I don't.
Roll call, vote, please. Okay. Let's call the roll.
Anderson.
Yes.
Dennett.
No.
Jones.
No.
Langenheim.
Yes.
Kurtz.
No.
Mosier.
No.
Wysocki.
Yes. Motion fails. Thank you, Mr. Snyder. Item 10. We do have a recreation and entertainment license, basically for these last remaining days of 2009. This is for Gordyville, doing business as Corner Concessions. Motion made by Mr. Dennett, seconded by Mr. Mosier to approve. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Next item is a continuation of the discussion regarding stage 4 of the land resource management plan. We talked about this at our last month's meeting. You heard more earlier this evening. And so now it's your turn to weigh in. Miss Monty has something to share that somehow was missed with the last distribution of things.
It's the handout. It wasn't missed. It just never got included, and this is, well, maybe it was missed. So you're getting it today. It's an implementation action proposed to go along with the two added policies that this committee approved on October 27th. So you all have a copy of that. The first is 723, policy 723, which essentially says the policy reads, the county will encourage the maintenance and improvement of the existing county road system, considering fiscal constraints in order to promote agricultural production and marketing. And we propose, staff proposes that you consider this proposed action item as an ongoing item, continue to monitor and pursue potential funding opportunities to achieve provisions on this policy. And that would be something that the county highway engineer is probably already doing, and that we could also keep an eye out for.
I believe Mr. Weibel needs a copy. Does somebody have an extra one? Susan, are you done?
Well, I was going to talk about the second one and then.
Well, we don't have a motion on the floor yet to talk this, so let's get that first. Can I get a motion so we can discuss this item?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Kurtz with a second from Ms. Anderson. Okay. Now, let's let Susan continue, and then Mr. Langenhunt, you can ask the first question.
I just want to tell you about the second policy. It reads as follows. This is one that we looked at in October. The county recognizes the importance of the drainage districts in the operation and maintenance of drainage, and suggested as a proposed implementation action for this is another ongoing action item. Continue to recognize the importance of drainage districts in the operation and maintenance of drainage. And this happens on a day-to-day basis as discretionary review cases come by the County Department of Planning and Zoning, and as people are advised about actions on their own properties as they apply for permits, zoning use permits.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
Two things.
Get closer to your mic. Thank you.
With regard to the statement regarding the maintenance of improvement of county roads, do we really need that statement considering fiscal constraints?
Absolutely.
And secondly, in the recognizing the importance of the drainage districts and the operation and maintenance of drainage with due attention to environmental concerns.
I think we ought to make you in charge of all the drainage districts. You need a couple of people to help you.
Would you repeat that? Actually, I'd be glad to take that over, and I'd do a damn good job of it. I think the farmers would be happy.
We might never come back.
Okay. Anything else?
Oh, we do have one, don't we?
Okay. We have a motion on 723, not on 846, right? Or on both.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you make that? Did you offer that as a motion?
No.
That's what I thought. Okay.
We made the motion, right?
We made the motion for the whole implementation thing. Yeah, that's been approved.
Yeah.
Okay. But, and Susan, where are you? So we did vote on these three items last month, or 2 months ago now.
The wording of the policy is not at issue. It's just the action item to go along with the policy. The committee already approved the wording of the two policies on October 27th. Tonight, I'd like to ask you to consider the addition of these two implementation actions.
Okay. So these two require motions for the implementation plan. Okay, motion made by Mr. Kurtz to approve the implementation action of policy 7.2.3 and 8.4.6. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Jones. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. All right. Anything on the rest of the implementation plan? Mr. Dennis.
I'll have to go back to what Ms. Meesey was referring to earlier. Policy 9.2.2, the county will try to incorporate and utilize energy efficient building design in its own facilities. I don't think there's any need for that to be in there from here. The facilities want to do that. That's up to them, but I don't think we have any right to tell them what to do.
Okay, so your motion is to... Wait a minute. To strike all of 2.1.3?
No.
I'm sorry.
Objective 9.2, this policy 9.2.2. Just that paragraph.
Yeah. Okay. This is on page 38 for everyone else.
Sure. Chris, I'm wondering if you are you proposing to strike the action item and leave the policy, or would you also want to go back at an appropriate time and actually eliminate the policy?
Probably the policy, too, that takes out anything that says that. The facilities want to bring that up. I think their place to do it. I don't think he left any place telling the facilities what to do.
Ms. Anderson.
I guess I would ask, why would we want to just leave it at the facilities? Why not the whole board decide whether we want this as a policy and leave it in? If it's the county board and they don't want that in there, and if it's a majority vote, fine. But these are goals to strive for. I guess I would have a hard time understanding why we would want to strive to become more energy efficient in our design of any facilities that we would either new or updated.
Mr. Weibel.
We just passed or added policy 7.2.3, which encourages the county will encourage the maintenance and improvement of the existing county road system. Obviously, the county, there are more entities that work on the road system than just the county. But we didn't go through our own Highway and Transportation Committee to ask them if they would be willing to partake in this encouragement of maintaining our own roads. So, putting a follow up with Mr. Johnson saying, here, we should strike 7.2.3 for the same reason.
Ms. Monty.
We'd be voted for.
Ms. Monty.
I would vote for.
I just wanted to provide the information that I did have conversations with Jeff Blue, who supported the addition of policy 7.2.3. and suggested wording for it and was fully aware of it.
Mr. Jones.
I guess I'd go back to what Mr. Hall has said and ask Chris to clarify. Do you object to that policy, or you just don't want this LRMP to have an action item there because what the facilities committed wants to take the action on the policy?
I think that facilities need is the one that needs to do that. Coming from ELA, what bearing does that have?
And I think that's what John was saying, is that we just strike that action item and we wouldn't strike the policy. Is that what you were saying?
Well, that's an alternative. Yeah, you could do one or you could do
the other. You're saying you don't have a problem with us striking out energy efficient design. You
that's right.
That this ELA committee or whatever should have their hands.
That's correct.
And you I understand what you're saying. So you just strike the action. Yes. So we'd have to have a substitute.
So basically, what we would be doing is identifying the facilities committee as the primary responsible for this. Is that?
Yes.
Okay. Ms. Monte.
Just to be consistent with the format of the other action items, it technically would be a county staff person, probably the building maintenance supervisor, or I believe that would be his title, Alan Reinhardt, would be the responsible party identified.
Ms. Pusey?
Well, going back to the implementation, which was 9.1.3A, 9.1.3B, it's on page 46 of 49, the second group of documents that the county board agenda tonight. I guess I think that's rather specific when already the facilities director and the county facilities committee have initiated energy audits in different forms in some of the county buildings and not all. And should those action items be that specific, whereas what you just approved for a highway is just to continue to monitor and pursue potential funding opportunities to achieve these provisions. I mean, if you could write something that general, instead of specifically what's written in 9.1.3A and B, it basically just says that the facilities director and facilities committee will, you know, strive to incorporate and utilize energy efficient urban design in its own facilities, I think you addressed it. I just don't think that the purview for that rests with planners. I think it rests with the facilities director and the facilities committee.
Is that
an audit isn't necessarily, I mean, that's a one component
yeah.
of what that entails, and so I hate to see energy audit listed specifically in the maybe achieved by other means other than an energy audit as well. I agree, all three of those.
Yeah.
If you could write just one, just like for the highway one general statement that says, you know, the facilities director and facilities committee will work to achieve 9.2.2 as policy.
Is that
too
early?
That would be fine.
Is that agreeable to the mover and second? Whoever that was?
Yeah, I think that's.
Oh, okay. Mr. Muto.
Yeah, I think this falls under what I mentioned earlier. This, when the county planner is doing this, there is no ownership with the parties that really should be involved in this. And that puts it right back where it should be.
Okay. Ms. Anderson.
Just to be clear, when I was speaking before, I was looking at page 21 at 9.2.2, so that's the policy, and that stays there, but what we really have been talking about.
Right, right. We're talking about, right, yes, the action plan. Page 46. Okay. Any other comments on this item? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion carries. Anything else? Going once. Okay. Then I assume we're ready to sign off on this whole implementation plan. Okay. Clerk, call the roll.
Dennett.
Yes.
Jones.
Yes.
Langenheim.
Yes.
Kurtz.
Yes.
Mosier.
No.
Anderson.
Yes.
Wysocki.
Yes. Motion carries, 6-1. Okay. Since we have now signed off on stages 1, 2, 3, and 4, the next item of business is for this committee to establish a public meeting. As Ms. Monty indicated earlier in her PowerPoint presentation, tentatively, the planners are looking at January the 19th or the 26th, and both of these are Tuesdays, right? We realize it's in the middle of January. January 19th or January 26th. Yes, go ahead.
We're actually looking at hopefully getting you all to work with January 19th just in case we have bad weather. We can move to the 26th and still have time to reschedule with the public. So we're hoping you'll just go ahead and go with the 19th.
Mr. Langenheim?
Does the fact that we're going to have a primary election on February 2nd have any bearing on this?
None whatsoever. Well, well, from what we saw this weekend, Alan, I don't think there's much to worry about. I think we need to talk a little bit about a public meeting because the planners really didn't have a strong concept in their heads about what form this would take. So we're certainly open to ideas or suggestions. Mr. Weibel?
Are you planning to have a simple PowerPoint presentation? Yes, that's one possibility. Although the problem is that maybe the source of information that we cannot present concisely in a short time period now is hard to say.
I think that as staff, our preference would be to have kind of an open house format rather than like an official public hearing, for example, because a public hearing is not required under the auspices of what we created this plan under. We'd like to have a more informal session where there would be different stations in the room, where stage one would be a station where people could go and find out about it. We could have a running PowerPoint presentation that would just perhaps be slides so that people could go around at their leisure and learn about things. And for those that already know a lot, and they could just skip to what they want to know.
I think that potentially is a good idea. I guess the question is, how would you gather comments? I mean, you have a bunch of people just sort of asking people to comment about different stages or something like that?
We always do have comment cards for these processes, so that's one way is that we would take comments. We could also have a question and answer session where we could take comments, you know, verbally like that, and or do the comment cards where people could send them in. We can have online availability of comment cards. We always do. So there's different ways to take the public comments.
Ms. Busey? We were talking about the first, what is it, the first, we're not there anymore?
We're not there anymore. We were originally talking about the First Christian Church, which is unavailable. We're looking for a more fringe or rural location, but that's not going to be a problem for inclement weather. So actually, we have spoken with the Ag Hotel, and we do have penciled in a room there that can handle up to 120 people, or if we need two more.
If this is the negative Iowa game?
I'm not familiar with the calendar, I'm sorry.
You should be, because the place is going to be parking to be a prison.
That is very true. If it is the Ag Hotel in that case, and we do have an Iowa game, we need to step away from that location.
I would also suggest that public participation, you want to maximize it, you should stay away from the Iowa game. Not because I'm a basketball fan, I'm saying if you really want people to have the opportunity to hear this and see it, you're eliminating a good portion of the county who will watch the game either on TV or go to it. I mean,
is there a game on the 26th? Mr. Nudo?
Face reality here.
Mr. Nudo, is there a game on the 26th?
I don't know.
What are you?
We will logically work around such a situation and with location, date, time, whatever we need to do.
We're asking for a decision tonight, so that's what we're talking about, right? I mean, we're not saying you ought to look at it and have the idea of when is a good date. You try to pick a date, and then we give you an answer as to not being a good date. And you say, well, we'll work around it. This is what we're trying to do.
Yes, but we also have a lot of other factors to consider as well. So not just Iowa game or whatever. We can work around location for the Iowa game or if we need to change dates. So I personally, as a project manager, was not looking for your approval of a certain date because you're not required to be there, honestly. The public, if they want to come, can.
Right.
So we're looking for ideas, in my opinion.
Let's go over here first. Mr. Dennis.
Is this information about the public before?
Oh, yeah. Very different.
How? No game of choice.
How? Susan.
I'm sorry?
Would you again remind them how we publicize these meetings?
No. The information that we're working on.
Oh.
Is it going to be in the public before that night?
We have a public comment period slated to start January 4th and end February 2nd, I believe. It's a 30-day public comment period, so they'll have a couple weeks before where the document will be available online at certain offices, and also at the libraries, typically. And we can send out copies for people who request them, and we also have CDs available.
Okay, how are people going to know about that?
We do a media release, and we have an ad in the papers.
There's an awful lot of information here for yes. people to get a hold of, if they're interested in it.
Yes.
And it can't be done in one evening.
Correct. Mr. Mosher.
I don't know why you have a meeting in the middle of winter. I mean, you can't predict what the weather is going to be on January 19th or 26th, either one of us.
The purpose of trying to do this meeting in January is to give you your planting season, because if we don't do it in January, we're going to do it in spring.
I'm going to be in Florida, I promise.
What dates?
Come on.
One thing that I would like to try and get some kind of a sense of the committee on is many people would think that if they're going to go to the trouble to give comments on this plan, they want to give them to you. They want to make sure you're at the public meeting. Now, if that's not important to the committee, then we'll put that at the side. But many people want to speak directly to their planning board members for something like this.
Mr. Dennett?
I think that is important. But we were just hearing that we don't have to be here and schedule a meeting around us. Wasn't that important? So is it or isn't it?
I'd like to know your thoughts on that.
I can't agree with you. But if board members think that there's a problem with the date because there's a ball game that people aren't going to show up, that seems to me to be a problem. Whether it's us attending the ball game or not, and I'm not going to be. If we can't get the public here, what do you want to have to eat?
Well, let's go back to my question originally. Is there a ball game on January 26th?
No.
No.
No. It is on the 19th.
Okay.
Purdue, 8 p.m.
I thought it was Iowa.
15.
I was earlier.
Ms. Anderson.
Well, I guess I was just going to comment that we had the study session tonight and only half of our board members turned up, so it's difficult even getting around that. Even night, I would come, even though January 26th was my birthday, unless you're going to bring cake. But I would be there. I can always celebrate my birthday another day. Or not at all.
Thank you. Anything else? Okay, so we're going to, the planners are going to work around January 26th. Right? Okay.
I think we have a lizard schedule.
We'll deal with it. Okay. Collection of electronic waste. Susan?
Hi. I wanted you to be aware of the legislation that was passed last fall, which places responsibilities on manufacturers to be responsible for the collection of electronic waste from residents. What the state has done is established a complicated system of credits and points, and it's all going to be in a state of flux for the next 2 or 3 years about how many credits each manufacturer will have to obtain. So it's an elaborate system. It's sort of confusing. If you had a chance to look at the legislation, you understand that it's 30 pages long. And essentially what this boils down to is placing more responsibility on manufacturers for participating in electronic waste recycling, which is good news for the county, good news for the municipalities, because, as you know, our budget is very tight and we don't have money to put at this effort. So ideally, what I hope will happen in the next few years, hopefully, is a private company will establish a place of business here close by where electronics recycling items can be dropped off during business hours, open for business, refurbishing, reuse of electronics. So from residents, I think that would be great. And then we can scale back what we are presently involved in, essentially moving away from the one-a-year opportunities for residents to drop off stuff to 4 times a year. But this year is different because we have a partnership established with the News Cassette. They will provide an indoor facility for the collections of electronic waste from residents at no charge this year, and as according to the state law, which limits, as of January 1st, no charge can be made to residents to recycle, for instance, televisions. And then, working with the News Cassette, quarterly collection schedule, and they are absorbing a lot of the advertising cost. And we have placed an RFQ, request for qualifications, out to get a contractor to work and see if they can contribute toward the cost of leasing the facility at the News Cassette. So it's working out this different direction. And bottom line is, we're not asking for any more funding from the county to do this, making electronics waste collection more convenient for area residents during this time of change.
So the bottom line is we will not have these Saturday drives like we've done in the past?
We were moving away to the outdoor once-a-year collection, to making it more convenient. It's still going to be on Saturdays, but 4 times a year to an indoor facility. And we're working with contractors to absorb some of the cost of putting these on. We still have to have a volunteer force to do this, but municipalities are kicking in and participating in at least the municipalities of the City of Champaign, City of Urbana, and Village of Savoy at this time. outlying municipalities are served by the Lincoln Heritage RC&D resource, whatever that is, conservation district, who has a program whereby they make arrangements to go around with a box truck and pick up electronics waste on a schedule with each of the smaller outlying rural villages. It's not an established system, but it seems to be moving in that direction.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, next item. The county planner work plan for fiscal year 2010. This is the other Susan.
For the last couple of years, the county planning contract budget has been largely dedicated to the creation of the LRMP. With the LRMP coming to an end, hypothetically, we are looking to get your approval of the work plan for fiscal year 2010, which begins tomorrow. So if you will refer to page 52 in tonight's ELEF packet, I've created a work plan, proposed work plan for your discussion and approval. So if you look in the top grade area, it shows the county planning contract total for FY10 of $76,169. That is the same amount that was last fiscal year. And then we've also managed to roll over, we're going to manage to roll over approximately $22,000 to be able to continue the LRMP process without requesting further money, even though we are beyond the original scheduling. So that makes a total of $98,626. So we are requesting that you approve the proposed tasks for FY10 that are listed below that. We're looking at about 393 hours approximately for finalizing the LRMP document. We'd like to devote approximately 700 hours toward implementation of the LRMP. So we would create a work plan that's based on the action implementation strategy, stage 4. And then we have a variety of smaller tasks that we'd like to devote time to, like if you have miscellaneous requests for data, for research, for whatever, we have about 150 hours allocated, another 150 for recycling events coordination. We have about 200 allocated toward a county sustainability initiative, as been discussed, I believe, with Deb previously. We have about $300 allocated toward a planning intern who could help work with any of the initiatives that we have listed above. And then we have fringe and indirect costs toward benefits for basically one planner. And then we also have non-staff expenses of printing the LRMP and typical services and capital outlay for a total of that $98,626, and it's about 2,250 hours. The typical work year has 1,950 hours, so you're getting slightly more than one full-time person devoted toward county planning tasks.
We need a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Motion made by Mr. Langenheim, seconded by Ms. Anderson. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Let's nail that down a little. All those in favor.
Do that again.
All those in favor signify by raising your hand. All those opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Okay, item 15. This is the item to hire professional consultants for review of certain technical studies for wind farms. This is beginning on page 53. There is some documentation there from CBA. There's some memos there from Mr. Hall. I assume you've all had an opportunity to read these. I need a motion on the floor so we can talk about this.
Sure.
Motion by Mr. Langenheim with a second by Mr. Kurtz. Discussion. Mr. Kurtz?
I just want to give you a quick update and then get to the point here. I've been in negotiations, discussions with Horizon, Midwest, and Inver Energy. We had hoped that Inver Energy would bring their first application in November. That has changed. They will be bringing, along with Midwest, their first applications in late winter of 2010. They will hope to start building by the end of 2010. I've also was in discussions with Horizon. They will push up their schedule from 2011 to 2010. Your application at that point will take place somewhere around September of 2010, with building beginning in the spring of 2011. This constitutes three companies with a total of about 150 turbines. I've also discussed with them jobs local here. From what I can tell right now, they've committed to nearly 600 jobs for these three projects. 300 of them will be local union jobs. Now, although there's been studies done over a period of time throughout the state by the wind farms with independent studies, there's only been one other county in the entire state that has done these technical studies. It seems obvious that noise is not a problem for the most part in any county, and only one other county has decided to spend that kind of money. Now, I want to be consistent. I voted against Mr. Schmucker's because of dollars, and I'm going to do the same here. Each of these projects could run, each of these technical studies can run up to $5,000 each. With these three companies, it means $15,000. I know there are other companies that are vying possibly for locations here in Champaign County. Another two possibly would mean $25,000 out of our general fund. I will vote against this because, first, that money is necessary at this time when we start to see those applications come in. And every penny is important. Also, the newest technology on these turbines are at least 10 to 15% quieter than the ones that have been studied recently in 2006, 2007, 2008. And I feel that it would be unnecessary, first, because we don't have any turbines up. It'll be all theoretical if they do these studies, and there can be a significant plus or minus on their results. In the case of some of these other studies, it was done on actual standing turbines. And for the most part, I would say 96%, they showed, and this is 3-4 years ago, that they were in compliance with the applicable Illinois Pollution Control Board noise regulations. So I feel at this point that it's unnecessary to spend this kind of money, and we need to get these applications in and moving as quickly as possible to see the revenues from these projects and these jobs. Millions of dollars are at stake here. Thank you.
Mr. Langenheim.
The noise of the turbines is no problem at all to the wind farm generator, the wind farm company. We need to know where we stand with regard to these plans. There's data available on the plans that they're going to prepare. We need to know. It's our people who are going to have to listen to these things. Now, the notion that, that these companies are going to not build these wind farms in this county because we're going to put up objections to possible inconveniences or actual hazards is poppycock. If these things are economically feasible, they're going to be built, and they should be built. But we do need to protect the life, happiness, comfort, whatever you want to call it, of our populace, and we should have our own information. We should not be getting it from talented, eloquent lobbyists for wind farm developers.
Mr. Weibel.
Thank you.
Just a couple comments here. Mr. Kurtz says that only one other county has such a ordinance. We point out that there's only about 10 counties that have wind farms, so it's not like one out of 102. I also point out that we set the fees for processing of the application. It was set to cover the cost, which includes this one. In fact, this one definitely would cover the biggest cost and other costs like that. So essentially, that money is allocated for that. If we're going to reduce this, we should go back to that original motion. And if we're not going to do this, we should go back to the original motion and reduce the cost of the processing fee. I know that Mr. Schroeder expressly made that motion to cover the costs. It's not a moneymaker. It's to do what is supposed to be done to process the special permit. And I think that's a good idea. I mean, this is really important for the people who are on the fringes of the wind farm who are not going to be making money. We're not part of that pot of gold. They're the ones that will be affected the most. The people who are making the pot of gold, they're not going to care about the sound. People outside of it, they're going to care.
Mr. Nudo. Go ahead, Ms. Anderson.
I have a question. Mr. Kurtz mentioned $5,000 for each of the companies. If we did it on the first application, does that, and if the equipment is similar, does that mean we have to do it on everybody, or is that up to us, or the
every wind farm is unique. No wind farm has homes in the exact location with the same distance from the same number of turbines. There is no reason to believe that if you do a noise study for the first wind farm that it means anything about the second, third, or fourth wind farm. That's my opinion. Anyone can verify how far you have to be from a single turbine in order to be at a specific noise level, given you know how much sound is coming from the turbine. That's not the difficult part about these studies. These studies have to do with you know however many homes there are around the perimeter of the wind farm and however proximity they have to however many number of turbines. And it varies from wind farm to wind farm. And again, the main reason I think a consultant is necessary is simply to validate what the wind farm developer is saying so that the public hearing goes quicker and easier. You as the county board will have no more than 30 days to make this decision once the ZPA makes a recommendation. The state has stepped in and limited that time. They're only giving you 30 days to make that decision. So I think the more you can weed out uncertainty, the better off you'll be within that 30-day period. And what happens at one wind farm is there's very, you know, it just doesn't tell you what's going to happen at the next.
Okay. Mr. Nudo.
The crux of the matter is we want to protect the citizens of the county. We understand that. But there are other ways to do it other than us spending the money for the survey. In other words, you could require the wind farm company to provide a study by the person or the company of our choice. Okay? We can also ask to be held harmless against any and all inconsistencies or errors in that study, or if the product they put up there is not consistent with what they said they were going to put up. The key thing is, I don't think it should be our expense. I think we can put a safeguard in the way we request it from them and holding us harmless that we don't have to pay for it. I don't understand why we have to pay for it if we can require the company that, of our choice.
Mr. Weibel.
Just how do we go about doing that?
Negotiation?
Well, no, but I think we have a process for getting a special permit. Sounds like you're asking about changing that process for a special permit. Let's have Mr. Hall comment on that, please.
Well,
Well, I agree. It sounds to me like that would be a revision. We'd have to write that into our ordinance. And then, explain to me if what you're asking for is in our ordinance. Is that in our ordinance now? No, because you've already put the fees in there.
You can't say it's not, and it's not in the ordinance for what you're asking for, and we're saying when you negotiate with them that you want them to choose a company of our choice to do the study. I don't understand where you can favor one way over another. That's strictly negotiations.
Could I explain that? The way it's set up now, we're sitting here, we're waiting for an application. The minute we get an application, we can begin the process. We've already got the contractors identified. We'll send out the noise studies, and we should have the noise study to the ZBA without slowing down the process. If I understand the process you were explaining, we would have to go into some negotiation at some point to with the wind farm company. And again, we have to write that into our ordinance to be able to force them into negotiations.
Let me ask you this. During the process, and my memory is not great, but during the process, I heard, in my mind, wind farm companies saying they would provide these kinds of studies during the process of the permit. So what you're saying is I don't trust that study. I want to do my own. Did I mishear what people said or that were lobbying for this?
Mr. Langenhorn, do you understand?
I most emphatically agree with the notion that we should not trust the wind farm company to tell us whether or not their noise level is going to be an inconvenience or harmful to our
community. And I think that there's a way around that, Ralph, and you know. Well, all right. I don't care how you get around it.
Get around it.
I agree with you. Not on my dime.
Mr. Weibel?
Like I said, we've already allocated money towards this. We did that months ago. It's not going to cost us any more. The money's intended for that. And I think if what Mr. Noodle says, I think we have to rewrite the ordinance, and we have to go through ZBA again. Is that correct? Based on what he's asking for.
That's why you...
And that would be months delay.
If John's proposal is such that we have to, before we permit it, that we have to pay for it, that's a rewrite.
No, that's not my proposal.
That's not my proposal.
The wind farm company will develop a noise study, such as Mr. Kurtz handed out at the last minute, at the last meeting. what I'm suggesting is our own consultant to validate that noise study would make the public hearing process go much smoother, much quicker. They would get an approval more quickly. And in fact, that's what the fees were put in there for in the first place.
John may or may not have mentioned that, but now it's got...
Mr. Noodle, you're out of line.
I understand.
Ms. Anderson.
I don't remember all the details, but that was my understanding that when we set the amount of the $20,000 for the special permit, it would cover other things as well, but any kind of studies that we might need, and that some counties, their fee is not as high as, I don't have all of them, but I think I remember one county was $10,000. We set it high enough that it would cover those sorts of things.
So the bottom line is the county is not paying for the study. It's the petitioner who's paying for the study.
Well, it's the petitioner's fees that they're paying
right.
to the county. But
okay.
those fees, in fact, become county,
I understand.
County fees, and then you can either spend them or not.
Mr. Kurtz.
No, Mr.
Kurtz.
Thank you. No matter how we state it, the terminology, whatever, we're losing $5,000 out of our general fund every time we do one of these studies. And that means up to $25,000 if we have five companies come in here and want to put it in. It doesn't matter how you say it, the semantics you use, it's the same thing. It's $20,000 into the general fund.
If we take $5,000 out, we lose $5,000. Period. Now, it doesn't matter how it comes into our pocket. It's in our pocket. We then take it out and throw it into the air, and we've lost it. That's $5,000 gone. Then Midwest comes in, and it's another $5,000. Inver Energy comes in, and it's another $5,000. It's still our money. I don't care that how it got to us. It got to us. I don't want it gone from us.
Mr. Langham.
Am I correct in my notion that that $20,000 that's being paid for to us into our general fund is to cover items of this sort? Is that true or not?
That's correct. It's reflected in the finding of fact that was included in the first memo that I gave to the committee.
Okay, fine. In that case, I see no substantive difference between your proposal and Mr. Noodle's proposal. And by God, I do not want to trust the company that's being regulated to do the regulating.
Mr. Weibel.
I'd like to point out that our money is the taxpayers' money. And we should reflect some of those taxpayers, again, who are on the edge of the wind farm. We're not in that pot of gold that people in the wind farm are getting.
Any other discussion? Call the roll.
Jones.
No.
Langenheim.
Yes.
Kurt.
Yes, I'm in favor of this.
Kurtz.
No.
Mosier.
No.
Anderson.
Yes.
Dennett.
No.
Wysocki.
Yes.
4-3.
That motion fails. Okay. We have at your desks the monthly reports for September and October of 2009. I would entertain a motion to receive and place these on file. Motion by Mr. Mosier. Seconded by Ms. Anderson. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Is there other business? Okay. What's going to the board? Nothing. After all this discussion. Okay. Again, we'll have a short meeting before the board meeting on the 17th. Otherwise, this committee will reconvene January 5th. Okay. Thank you. We are adjourned.